It's that time. It's Wednesday, 1 p.m., so of course it's time for Comic Book Storylines. I'm Brian Sorensen. You also know me as Brian the Comic Book Guy on Instagram. You can also reach out to me, briannthecomicbookguy@gmail.com. We can talk about whatever you want. You have a question about any previous episode, hit me up. We can talk more detail. So this week, we're getting close. We're talking Dark Crisis. If you haven't heard any of the previous episodes about Dark Crisis, we're in almost the end game for Dark Crisis. There's a lot of things that have ramped up to this, and some interesting details emerge from this. We're also going to see what the worlds of the rest of the Justice League that have been dead look like. We're going to be looking at the Green Arrow, Black Canary, Batman, and Zatanna. Zatanna wasn't part of who died, but she pops up. She's a mystic. She's going to pop up everywhere. And speaking of mystical stuff, the first issue we're going to talk about here in just a minute is called Dark Crisis Deadly Green. Now, there's a bunch of one-shots, as I told you about. Next week, there's going to be about three of them that wrap up everything. So it was interesting with the storyline to have so many of those instead of having some of the other titles pop in. But we're done with the Flash issues, so we're going to be talking Dark Crisis, The Deadly Green, Worlds Without, Justice League, Green Arrow, Batman, and Black Canary and Zatanna are in those. We're going to cover Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths, issues 5 and 6 of the main storyline, and we're almost done wrapping up Dark Crisis Young Justice. We get to see what Mr. Mixoplex's son has in store for the Young Justice guys, and we'll get to that in a little bit. So we're going to start off now. This is where the mystic stuff comes in. If you're not familiar with Justice League Dark, it's kind of like the occult heroes kind of like have their own thing. And we see a couple of the characters. We see Jade and Obsidian, who end up being the adopted kids of the Golden Age Green Lantern. So they're summoned to the Hall of Justice, but the Justice League Dark, they have a big complex underneath the Hall of Justice, and they need to get to the bottom of this. So Jade and Obsidian walk in, and there's a little bit of a seance getting ready to go on. We've got John Constantine, Swamp Thing, Dr. Fate, Raven from the Titans, along with Nightwing and Superboy, and Wonder Girl. And they're all in on this to get to where they need to be. They're trying to see if they can conjure up and talk to the Great Darkness from an occult standpoint. They're having kind of like this little seance here. Dr. Fate explains that the Great Darkness is coming to Earth because it has somehow been corrupted. The character Obsidian knows this true because his powers were born in darkness, so he kind of has like a unique perspective on the darkness. So Alan Scott, the Golden Age Green Lantern, takes off his Green Lantern ring because it's designed to absorb and shape magic and bend it to his will. So it's kind of got some mystical properties. So they want Jade and Obsidian to kind of help them breach this barrier that Swamp Thing is actually going to help them in. And they break up into their little teams where it's Alan Scott, it's Swamp Thing, Superman, which is John Kent, Raven, Obsidian, and John Constantine. I think I mentioned him. And the others wait in the wings to see what is going on. But they've got some pretty good mystics and occult people with them. So they look like they're in good hands. So Obsidian touches Alan Scott's Green Lantern ring, starts the mystical process. They end up being absorbed all into the ring. And you got Alan Scott and Obsidian, who's holding everything together, and everybody's just kind of watching on like, okay, what did we just witness? So we get into the Green Lantern ring, and Raven, Swamp Thing, and Superman are in this green world, which is being enveloped into darkness. So you can already see the darkness is in there. Superman tries to fly up and see what's going on, but he doesn't have his flying abilities, so he's left to just walking around, and Raven is saying, hey, follow me. Now, she is an occult from, like way back. She has got a father who was into the occult, and he was, like, this demon Trigon. Now, she is a mystic because of, you know, she has powers, but she has rejected him and everything, so she's on her own. But she's still has this connection to the darkness. And Swamp Thing is saying, does Raven hear what's going on? We need to walk around and try and figure out where we're going to be in here. Now, all that, we see that John Constantine isn't with him. John Constantine is surrounded by the darkness. And it starts talking to him. It says, "You don't seem to be afraid." And he goes, "Oh, I've had my fair share of darkness." And the darkness is saying, "You are insolent." He goes, "That's a character flaw, as I've been told." Now, John Constantine, if you've seen any version of Constantine, whether in the Arrowverse, the movie, anything, you know, he's a bit of a wise ass. But the darkness kind of envelops into this figure, and it's talking to him where he needs to go and what you've been doing. He goes, "Have I been waiting for you for the lights to go out and the show to begin? We need to walk this path together." So Constantine's like, okay. Now, he's always been on the line of just the weirdest stuff ever. So we're like, okay, what's going to happen with this? So Raven and Swamp Thing and Superman they seem to be walking in circles, according to Superboy or Superman. And he's getting kind of mad at Raven because she's the one leading them through, but he keeps recognizing things. We've been walking in circles. So he starts to get mad. And Raven is like, you know, "We're not lost. Alan Scott's mind is trying to protect itself. His constructs are recoiling from the darkness." And Swamp Thing is like, "So you are a creature of the darkness. And I need to capture you." So Swamp Thing kind of puts these tendrils around Raven. He's like, "Okay, if it's corrupted, are you too?" And Superman's like, "He's right, aren't you? We should have never brought you along." And it's because they're starting to not trust her. And Raven goes, "It was Constantine who wanted me along in this mission." She blasts Swamp Thing and everybody, and she goes, "Because I understand the darkness, I live with it a fraction of an inch from my heart at all times, nearer to my neck than my next breath. And I can tell when it's affecting me, unlike the both of you." So you can look at both of them. She's through her eyes, and you can see the darkness is starting to envelop Swamp Thing and Superman. And Raven kind of is led on this little chase, and she's like, "If you can catch me, child of the two suns, before the darkness takes you entirely." So she's leading him on this thing to kind of distract them so they don't get fully enveloped by the darkness. And Obsidian, back in the Justice League headquarters, the Hall of Justice, he's starting to lose his connection to Alan Scott. The darkness doesn't want everybody to find out what's going on, but Obsidian keeps pushing. And Dr. Fate's like, "If you stop now, the balance will be lost. The light will devour those who went into the ring." So they're saying if they let go of the connection, then everybody that went in is gone. So we go back into the ring. John Constantine's talking to the darkness. And he goes, "Do you see, John? It is only in my presence that you were free to be who you really are." So he's kind of trying to seduce Constantine to stay into the darkness. And he says, the truth always lies in the extremes, don't you think? Do we really know if John Kent can live up to his father's legacy? Can Swamp Thing be deserving of the world that he is in this dark hour? And Raven, is it not only because of me that she strives so hard to be anything but herself? And then he takes the shape of Raven's dad. So it's like, oh crap. So is he really behind this? So Constantine is like, okay, the extremes are overrated. I've been around. I've seen a few things. The best parts of us have nothing to do with the truth. He goes, is this some kind of test? So he kind of fully forms. He goes, "You are the minuscule thing out into the darkness, and your vanity knows no end. I was here before everything." So he's kind of giving like a history of things. "The truth of the matter is, my eternal essence is the canvas against which you play out your struggle. Without knowing where the edges lie, you could possibly fathom the middle. You have opened my hand seeking answers and found it to be empty. It's your own hubris that brings you here in the corruption of the darkness. And as I've had countless instances of my life, I have little time to watch what's going on. But I shall watch you undo this, all your glory, or shall I watch you be your own undoing?" So he's kind of speaking in riddles. Meanwhile, Raven is trying to distract Swamp Thing and Superman. Swamp Thing manages to catch her, and she uses her magics against both of them, kind of frees them from the darkness, gets the darkness pull out of both of them, and they realize that she is trying to help, and she's like, "I am born in the darkness, it's part of me. You made it here because you are both creatures of the sun, able to endure it. I made it here because everyone knows one of its names, and it can't harm me." So she's saying basically that she's part of this darkness and it can't bother her. She leads him into this path, and we see Alan Scott, he's being surrounded, he's almost being absorbed into this green world, and Jade and all the other characters and Obsidian, they bond together to try and help Alan Scott to kind of free him. And Swamp Thing feels that the only way to get anywhere in this darkness realm is to kind of merge with Superman. And he's kind of done this to a few of the heroes in the past before, but not in this way. So he kind of fully envelops Superman so Superman can see through his eyes. And Raven kind of runs into John Constantine, and they're trying to get out of this darkness. And John Constantine ends up trying to pull Raven. And while that's going on, Jade and Obsidian, they're trying to get Alan Scott because it looks like he's going to be enveloped into the darkness as well. But they're his kids. They surround him. They kind of give him his powers. They come back. And they're like, oh, crap, did we lose the heroes? Because the essence and everything, the aura has gone away from Alan Scott. He kind of passes out. So then we start seeing from the eyes of Superman. Everything's green, and he's seeing this constant chaos behind him, which is the darkness. But then there's this little portal at the end of this long road. And he's like, I see this. There's like this little splinter. Let's go see what that is. And Raven is at the end of that tunnel as well. And she's screaming to everybody, we don't have much time. We need to get out of here. So Superman reaches in to the darkness and pulls out Pariah's machine, the original machine that he used to create the original crisis. The demon, the darkness pushes John Constantine back out of the darkness, and all the heroes are like, can we get them back? But then suddenly Raven opens up a portal. Superman, who is still surrounded by Swamp Thing, with Raven and Constantine come out, and they're like, wait a minute, what is that? And we're like, we came bringing a gift. And Dr. Fate goes, it's Pariah's. It's the machine that this all started with the first crisis. And it was just in the darkness, and they managed to pull it out of the darkness. And John Constantine goes, the darkness isn't the corruption in us. We are the corruption in it. So he's kind of like, you know, it's like a Catch-22 thing. And that's pretty much how that issue ends, where they come back with this prize. So we'll see if they can do it here. Now, the next two, I'm kind of only going to go briefly into because it doesn't have a lot to do with the main storyline. It's just Green Arrow and Black Canary's world and Batman's world. And it's funny because in Green Arrow's world, it's pretty dang funny because he sees himself as like a Robin Hood. Like these worlds are their visions of what they see themselves and everything. So we see that Green Arrow has become this Robin Hood. And we see Raven in the background. Like you can see that she's also trying to get these guys to wake up. And Green Arrow is in the woods and he has this canary that he follows. And he follows it. And I think kind of Raven opened up the portal to the worlds between Black Canary and Green Arrow. And Green Arrow ends up going through like from this like old world era in the woods to this city. And he ends up running into Black Canary, or that version of Black Canary. They immediately start fighting each other, but they seem that they realize that there is this little connection. And you see Raven in the background. She's kind of trying to get them to both see the light. So Green Arrow is in Black Canary's world, but there's somebody that's also following them. He has an arrow and bow as well. And that turns out to be her world's version of Green Arrow. He's in her world, he's trying to be her enemy. And so there's two Oliver Queens here present, and they're both trying to take him down. The Dream World version of Oliver, he knocks out Green Arrow, but Black Canary ends up grabbing his bow and arrow and blowing up the Dream World version. And they kind of wake up from that, and they kind of realize the captions are like their soulmates, they kiss and everything, and they realize that they're meant to be. But then we kind of flash back to when they were about to be killed. Remember when Green Arrow, way back in the first issue, way back in the first, the Justice League 75, where the Justice League died. Well, where Green Arrow got kind of stomped by Doomsday, and Black Canary goes over and she goes, why did you follow me here and everything? And then you see these two orbs kind of absorb both of them. So you kind of get to see the process of what Pariah did to envelop both of them. And you can see that their essences went separate, but then they kind of had this bond where their worlds kind of touched together. So then you go into, we see another Earth that was separate that has them both in it. And it's a kind of like super samurai, like technology version of Green Arrow. And they're in this tech future world with Black Canary. And they're like, okay, so there's another version here of this. They have some interactions. And you see Pariah kind of come up. And he tries to break up their little reunion. He goes, both your worlds will fall again and again through countless worlds. The end is the same. What is it about you two that keeps these realities from taking hold? Like, he's getting angry because their worlds aren't holding together because of their bond practically. So they've kind of pushed back, and that's how they kind of wake up. So the last one to wake up is going to be, of course, Batman. And his world is just this really screwed up world. And there's, Batman, and I keep saying this to people, Batman is not a happy guy. His life is not happy. He kind of tries to have this smile facade of everything, but his world is in the future. Gotham City is like in this old bubble world. Like the world went to crap, and he's got this area that has lived on and carried on. But there's this figure that it is Batman. They call him the Knight, and he's basically going through and taking out what looks like all of Batman's bad guys. And then you look and see that there's this guy that's watching everything from the inside of the bubble. And the Knight breaks into this place and captures this new guy, this lightness guy. And he's like, we have this connection. What's going on? So he takes off the mask of Mr. Fix, as they call him, or Mr. Wax, as they call him, and Bruce takes off his helmet, and they see that they're clones. So then they both relive the origin of Batman. And then you see in his, and this is like I said, this is a really twisted world. They end up going to like the remains of Wayne Manor, and there's this technology where they see that to Bruce wanted to be able to be savior and protector of this area. So, like this unknown thing that popped into his brain, they were able to clone Bruce Wayne and have him be a light and a darkness. And Alfred's there, all these characters are there, and he goes on his adventures. And then we see the next character, Zatanna. Now, we didn't see her originally. She wasn't part of the group that died, but she was kind of like trapped in her own world as well. And you see how Constantine ends up popping up and saving her. She wakes up, and the rest of the Justice League, still in their uniforms and costumes and what they look like in their separate worlds, kind of like, okay, trust us, Zatanna, we need to get back and take care of business. So now we get to some really meaty stuff of the story, Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths. We left off at the Battle of the Legion of Doom, where the Darkness guys were fighting Black Adam and the Legion of Doom with Lex Luthor. The Darkness guys end up kind of winning the day, and while that's going on, the heroes they're getting one last ditch effort to try and go after Pariah, and Pariah has recreated the Infinite Earth, so he's in his Darkness realm, and you can see all of the Infinite Earths entangled, and he's recreated this, and his Darkness guys are there. But the some of the heroes that are left, and he's like, why are you resisting me? Why can't you see the great darkness? This is what we need to do. And we kind of flash back a little bit to Batman's world from the previous issue on how Flash woke up Batman, and Green Lantern woke him up as well, and they kind of get Batman rallied up. So this is, you can see the rally points starting to happen here. And we see at the focal point of the Infinite Earths, we see that all of the Earths are spread out, but they're getting corrupted by the darkness. So Pariah recreated the Infinite Earths, but it looks like it's starting to get corrupted by darkness. So Nightwing gets everybody back to the Hall of Justice. Justice Society is there. Nightwing's like, we'll need more heroes for what we have planned. And our allies have answered the call. Some have rejected. New faces have stepped up. We're going to need to take this to Deathstroke. We're going to really need to take this on. And out of the corner, Beast Boy, he's back in his costume. He's kind of shaken. He comes over, gives Nightwing a hug. He goes, I totally forgive you for everything. Let's just end this. So everybody's getting ready to go kick some tail. But then the guys from the Dark Crisis, the Deadly Green come in. They come up out of the basement of the Hall of Justice, and Superman has Pariah's machine. They're like, okay, we need to figure out how to use this against them. All the Flashes are like, okay, we kind of have this plan, but there's incoming. Now, right before that, Damian Wayne takes Dr. Light and he goes, I have a plan. And it says in little caption in the bottom, better follow Damian to Dark Crisis, the Dark Army. Now, that's going to be one of the one-shots that we look at next week. So they're like, okay, so now we have to wait. In time perspective, you had to wait like 2-3 weeks before that issue came out. So you're kind of like, okay, we have to wait all this time. So Flash is kind of rallying the troops. The Darkness guys with the Deathstroke are at the front door. They're attacking the Hall of Justice. They kind of break in. And Black Adam is once again saying, you guys are a bunch of sidekicks. The multiverse will not be saved by children. You are not the Justice League. And in this really cool caption, Nightwing goes, we never were. We're the Titans. So he kind of rallies everybody that's left out the door, taking on the Darkness guys. Deathstroke's like, he wants his daughter to kill Nightwing. So then we kind of flash to, we didn't see Superman in one of the, when all the guys were together, all the ones that were taken in their own worlds. So Zatanna and Flash and Green Lantern bring everybody to Superman's world. And he goes, I was the last holdout. This is kind of like my land and everything. I was happy here. But then he kind of turns into like this electric form. He goes, it was still a world without the Justice League. So we need to get back. We need to help our friends. We need to get back there by focusing on the essences of our friends. So they end up breaking out of the worlds that Pariah is using the energy for. And you can see that he's got the Green Lanterns contained. And he goes, there's something wrong. I'm losing power. I'll need more heroes to create more worlds. And he goes, tries to go after the Green Lanterns. But all of a sudden, all of the freed Justice League comes out of all of the Earths. And he goes, and Superman goes, you're done, Pariah. Stop this now. And he goes, my machine needs your power for the infinite Earths to return. And we kind of see this little, finally real world reunion between Green Arrow and Black Canary. And he goes, save your piddling reunions. This is far from over. I killed you. Your very essences are tied to this new world creating in my image. If these worlds die, you'll be erased. So he's basically saying, if you leave this place, you're going to be erased. I'm not really sure that's a thing. I think he was just kind of bait and switch him. And we finally see Pariah. He lands on Earth. Superboy or Superman goes, we're too late. Pariah lands on Earth. He goes, you feel that? My hopes have been finally answered. The crisis calls me. What happens next is on you, Justice League. And it kind of vanishes. Deathstroke kind of takes a one last effort and goes after everybody, and Pariah comes back. The Army of Darkness is right outside, and Black Adam looks over, and it's all the bad guys, and he goes, the true darkness is here. You've got Spectre, Pariah, all of the Darkness bad guys that were left, and Pariah holding over the center. So you're like, oh crap, it's about to get ugly. So Young Justice Dark Crisis number 5, it's basically, what basically now you find out that the series is that Mickey Mixoplex, who's the son of Mr. Mixoplex, kind of wanted to take the Young Justice out of the mix and kind of have his own group of young heroes. He's trying to get them to not go back because he's saying, you know, you guys are the young guys. You can't be any use there. Just stay here in this world that I created and then nothing bad will happen to you. Because it's always been kind of like a thing where he tries to help out, but he helps out in not the best way. And we've heard this with different characters over the years. They have good intentions, but they really suck at those intentions. But Young Justice ends up finding a way to break out of Mickey Mixoplex's world. They end up in a part of the Hall of Justice where stuff's not going on. They end up in an empty part. They get back to the real world, and they're like, okay, we're here. Sweet. And then they turn around and they say, I wouldn't worry about anybody else or anything else that's going on yet, because you can't get rid of me that easily. So Mickey Mixoplex has fully emerged and is in their world now. I'm like, okay. So he's really mad that they broke out, but he's still got a little bit of a fight into him. We get the last issue that we're going to talk about today is Dark Crisis on Infinite Earth 6. And we see the Green Lantern Corps rally up on that Black Lantern. And they see the Black Lantern kind of explodes with those Darkness guys. So the Green Lantern Corps is having their day with those darkness figures, and we see the next three pages are totally dark, and it's kind of like this darkness is what's supposed to happen to everything. And then we really cut into the heroes fighting the darkness characters, and Pariah is like, I doubt I'll ever escape the darkness I was lost in. Deathstroke has really been trying this whole time to get the darkness out of him, but it kind of seduces him and takes it over. So he approaches Pariah and he goes, "What are you subjecting me to this same fate? You promised me the end of the legacy heroes," which means like basically all the DC heroes, not the return of a bunch of worlds. So he's like, "This is not what I set up for." And he goes, "Did you forget that the darkness gives me power over you, Deathstroke?" And he goes, "I've got your army right here. I created the crisis. Free me from this pain." So he's like, "Free me from this darkness, because I feel like the darkness is coming over me." He goes, "You'll get your way as soon as this world and its heroes are gone." So he's like, "Fine, let's go at it." And he goes to attack Beast Boy, who Beast Boy's finally just freaking had enough of this guy. So he just starts wailing on him. And you see that they're about to attack each other. We go back to Pariah's base of operations, where all of those Infinite Earths are hanging, tangled up, and all of the Justice Leaguers that came back after they kind of kicked Pariah out of it. Pariah left and went on. They're still kind of wrapped up in their own costumes because they feel like they're trapped. But Flash and Green Lantern have this plan, and Green Arrow ends up looking at the Earths, and he has this little rallying speech. He goes, "Every time the Justice League sets out to save the world, we don't know what could happen. Any day could be the day we fall." You know, he goes, "I'm the world's greatest archer, and missing is always a possibility, I know that. But that would never stop me from taking that shot, and not just to save my loved ones, also for strangers, anyone that needed help. And I know each and every one of you would do the same. That's what makes us the Justice League." And they kind of rally around that, and Black Canary's like, "Ollie, but Pariah said if we leave here..." And he's like, "I'm not leaving you, I'm here always." So Green Lantern and Flash kind of combine their powers, envelop everybody around. They all hold hands, and there's this great light. I'm like, okay, let's see what happens here. We get back to the Hall of Justice. The Dark Army is starting to take these guys out. They're really not winning here. But the heroes that were all around the world, they start coming back and popping up to have like these little like rallying points, like the cavalry sort of. But it doesn't look like they're having a chance. Pariah has this look in his eye and he goes, "Worlds will live, heroes will die." And heroes start going after Pariah, and he takes out a whole bunch of heroes like he did to the Justice League in the first part, in Justice League 75, and these little orbs start forming. So it's like, okay, so he's doing what he's doing now to everybody. And Pariah's like, "Oh, great darkness, I hear you. You're right, it's working. My dark army, bring me more heroes." And Superman and Black Adam are kind of trying to rally the rest of the troops inside. They ping Pariah's device because they're like, okay, maybe if we can point this thing at him and blast him, maybe he'll go away. Pariah notices this and sends all the Dark Army against him. And all the Dark Army starts wailing on Superman, John Kent. And they try and get Pariah in front of the machine. And you see that Superman is getting his butt handed to him. And Pariah gets ready to kill Wonder Woman. And they get the machine turned on. Mr. Miracle gets the machine turned on, points it at Pariah, and Pariah ends up fading into darkness. Superman kind of falls to the ground, and they're like, "Wait, the Dark Army's power is fading. It's not gone, but now we have a fighting chance. Let's go." So Black Adam goes to kind of help Jonathan Kent, because the Doomsday Darkness guy is getting ready to just attack John Kent, and he looks like he's going to take him out. Some of the Darkness guys stop Black Adam from attacking. And right at the last second, the Kal-El Superman gets in the way and wails on Doomsday out of the way. And they both take a pot shot and take out the Darkness Doomsday. John Kent hugs his dad and he's like, "Where did you come from?" And he goes, "We followed the light." And out of the light, all of the Green Lantern guys, all of the Justice Leaguers that were missing, pop out of this light. And they are the rally point. It's a really awesome next few pages where the Justice League's back, they take him on, and Mr. Miracle's like, what's going on with the multiverse? He's talking to Alan Scott, Green Lantern. The darkness still spreads. Whatever Pariah kickstarted is not done. Why is his army still possessed? And they turn around, and they see, okay, we thought we stopped everybody. And Deathstroke goes, I tried to stop him. And he means, like, Pariah and everything. But then it turns into black and goes, I don't care about the multiverse or any of you. A contract is a contract. And he, like, envelops into this big swell being. And he's holding Nightwing by the neck. And he goes, I am not done until all of you are dead. So he's holding his daughter and Nightwing. And it says at the bottom, everyone versus Deathstroke. I'm sorry to leave you off at that point, but we've got to have a last episode that has a little bit of bite to it, or else you wouldn't listen to it. So, I mean, I was excited just to read that part as well, because when I first read it, and you know, like I said, you have to wait a certain amount of time before you can see the next episode. And in our case, it was 30 days between issues 6 and 7, so you're like, you have to wait 30 days to find out what's going on. But I promise you, you don't have to wait that long. You just have to wait 7. So like I said, you can check me out on Instagram, at BryTheComicBookGuy, or you can email me, BryTheComicBookGuy@gmail.com. No, I'm not going to tell you how it ends, because then you're not going to listen next week. I see right through it. So if I could get you to hit the download button on every episode that you hear, you can download it, you can listen to it offline. I would appreciate any feedback. You can message me at it on Instagram, at BryTheComicBookGuy, my Gmail address, or however how you can reach out to me. Until next time, with the last episode of Dark Crisis, thanks for listening.